Today's talk is related to the physics of healing, and I consider this is an ongoing series, so today is part one. I think this is a cool concept, the physics of healing. We don't have a lot of information about it because it's not something that has really been studied tremendously and put into this framework. Healing is usually not an event. Healing is a continuous course of study. It's a program. It's a curriculum. And it is something that occurs naturally, unless we interfere with it, from the earliest days of our lives, right on up until the final experiences of our lives. So the idea that we are involved in the physics of healings suggests that we should know more about it. And so it is this idea that I'm interested in exploring. I have a friend, his name is Frank Mino. Frank is a physicist, and he's written a book about physics, and specifically gravitation. He's got an alternative theory about gravity, and he substantiates it very thoroughly. His hope was that the physics and establishment would be interested in a new, innovative, meaningful way to look at physical matter and the laws that apply to it. However, Frank has found out that the physics establishment is basically more interested in the status quo than they are in new innovative ideas that might be a unified theory. As a result of Frank's experience and our developing friendship, I've talked to him about the idea of applying his understanding of physics to the process of healing, because it is an area that is ill-defined, underdeveloped, and exceedingly important. So we're in the beginning stages of that. I'm interested as an individual and also as the founder of the Church of the Healing Spirit to put my emphasis, our emphasis, on this curriculum called Physics of Healing. As the founder of 120andhealthy.com and live2be120andhealthy.com, understanding healing and having a relationship with the ongoing process of healing is going to be essential to anybody who is going to achieve health and happiness up to the age and beyond of 120 years old. What's interesting to me on a lot of levels, and there are lots of things about Frank Mino that are interesting, is that he, up until about 5 or 6 years ago, was completely aligned with the scientific model of doing things. He considers himself today to be a complete scientist, and he's looking for things that are scientifically documentable and scientifically reproducible. And everything must be reproducible to have a degree of validity that he finds necessary in scientific circles. However, about 5 or 6 years ago, Franks, who had no interest in spiritual things, had a series of encounters with people and the events or occurrences that he's been unable to fit into his physics background. He had experience with somebody who was a hands-on healer, who had no formal training, and they were able to create a physical difference, literally, and improve or facilitate or cause healing. He had experience with psychics he was introduced to, even though this was so far from his own reality. But when they started to recite things, there was no physical way for them to know about his past or about his future. It started to dawn on him that there are lots of things that are not going to fit into the physics framework that he had been trained into. He had odd occurrences of synchronicity during a remodeling of his home, and he recognized that those things were beyond the level of coincidence. He had experiences of self-healing of cancer and a heart condition. And all of that stuff started to combine to make Frank be open to the possibility that there were things going on that were inexplicable from his pure scientific viewpoint. And it was his exploration of the spiritual aspects of health and illness that led to our meeting one another. Personally, I'm interested in grasping the cause and effect relationship between consciousness, intention, attention, thoughts and feelings, the vibrational range that we label as emotional states, the role of perception, what images with visual, auditory, or kinesthetic and other sensory information can do, how they can be changed, and so on. In other words, I'm interested in proceduralizing healing and the factors thereof so that more people can understand and apply these principles. And my goal would be to use Frank's physics framework, his languaging, his definitions, his images, in an effort to build a coherent subject or topic called the physics of healing. As we develop our identities as human beings from the earliest days, we are using comparison material. That is, material for the basis of comparing us to things outside of us. And we compare ourselves, obviously, to other people. By comparing ourselves to other people, we start to build a definition of who we are. We use bits and pieces of energy, images, and we use those to measure ourselves. We use those ideas, those images, to construct the mosaic of who we think we are. And who we think we are is our identity. That identity is defined by who we think we are. It'd be nice if identities were who we are, but really, they're who we think we are. You can imagine that each of us has more than a single identity, because identities are who we think we are in relation to fill in the blank. We can have an identity related to who we think we are in relation to work, members of the opposite sex, children, spouses, family members, money, our physical body, our skill as a musician, and on and on and on and on. Our identities are who we think we are in relation to, and that's a key point, fill in that blank, and then you'll have an idea that we have so many aspects to our identities, and if some of those are false, some of those are ineffective, some of those don't serve, they could be impeding healing. If we were traveling and we were lost, there were a couple of things we would want to take care of right away, or a couple of facts we would want to establish right away. Number one, where are we? We would make an attempt to identify where we are in space and time. Geographically, this is where I am. Okay, and this is what time it is, and these are the characteristics of this environment. Okay, so now I've located myself. The second thing that we'll probably want to do is to identify where we are going. If we're traveling, and if it makes any difference to us, then we have a destination in mind. We have the image of a destination in mind. And establishing that will then make the path between where we are and where we want to go much more easy to define. There are actually four convenient ways to identify where we are. And I'll start from the physical, although the physical really is the final location, but it's easiest for most people to get their minds around. And so I call it the current physical condition. That really is the current state of balance. This is the factual view of what we're currently experiencing physically. This is the physical level. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the body, the physical environment. The next step up would be to identify the current emotional condition. And in a case like this, we could use the convenient 10 emotional states, going from shame, apathy, grief, fear, lust, anger, pride, courageousness, and acceptance and peace, as a way to identify how a person feels about their current physical condition. So knowing where we are physically, knowing where we are emotionally, are very important to our healing. The current medical condition. That is the composite of thoughts, opinions, judgments, superstitions, hearsay, all the things that we think we know has to do with thinking about the physical condition. We've been accumulating those since we were conceived physically, right on up to this moment. And knowing what those accumulated thoughts are is important to the rest of our journey. Then finally, I label the most significant and first and foremost as our current spiritual condition. And this would be the imagined viewpoint of God about this physical condition that we're experiencing, as well as our own imagined viewpoint as to whether we have God's help and assistance to balance this physical condition, or whether we're being punished with it, or this is correct that we should suffer with this, or so on. That condition needs to be dealt with as well. Those four, this is where I am, establishes what needs to be clarified, corrected, shifted, or healed for us to continue. Let's shift gears. I hear people speak of financial troubles, specifically scarcity of money. There are lots of ways to look at things, so I'm going to explore three different points of view on this idea to see if one or more or all of these fall into the physics of healing. If we imagine scarcity as a solution, it's a balancing solution to the problem of imbalance. What would the imbalance be if scarcity, or the problem in quotes, was the solution? What would the real problem be considered to be? What sin was committed? What violation of values would have been committed? What bad things were done? What withholds about bad things do we have? What truths about you would have to be discovered if you had money? And another way, what sins does the lack of money prevent us from committing? So in a case like this, the viewpoint is all of a sudden what we thought was the problem, scarcity of money, is really on a subconscious level something that we have adopted in order to prevent something bad from happening. It is actually a good thing. So we actually create a problem because we think there is some other deeper problem that this is the solution for. I would suggest that there are true natural goals. I would think health is one, abundance is one, harmony is another, balance is another, growth is another, and probably a lot more. In order for us to see abundance as a problem, I would guess that we have a condition that I call reversed values. And I put that reversed values in quotes. If we have reversed values, that we're going against the natural flow of energy in the universe, it seems like that's a pretty certain guarantee of frustration or conflict or struggle. And so that idea about imbalance is the problem is subconsciously considered to be the solution can be shifted. Another way to look at imbalance is to see the opposite image in this, in which case there are heavy thoughts or feelings or images that a person has about money that prevent them from coming into balance regarding money. they may have done things that preclude them from having a balanced relationship with money. Self-punishment is one of the, quotes, justifications, end quotes, for this condition. So the idea that we need not to have that money is a real problem, and we're looking to, because of past events, we have to have scarcity as a way to balance what we've done in the past. That's that punishment action. A third scenario that seems to be at play with some people is this natural tendency, or I'll say it's a human tendency, to align with a flow of energy of other people. If somebody else important in our lives, particularly early in our lives, or somebody that's a role model even today, that we can align with the energy of that image, thinking that if we demonstrate that same thing, if we behave that way, our chances of belonging, our chances of fitting in, our chances of being accepted, our chances of being loved are higher. So we align with other people's points of view about money and other things in an effort to belong. This idea of humans tending to align our energy with others' energies, to me, is a very deep and powerful drive on a lot of levels. Being a member of a tribe is a survival enhancement strategy. Not being as a member of a tribe is a pretty certain way in a lot of cultures, even today, even in 2009, to get killed. You can imagine primitive people would be operating according to this rule. Different is dangerous, in quotes. Different is dangerous. And consequently, when something is dangerous, basically have limited our choices of behavior down to two, fight or flight. And in the case where there's a tribe versus a sole individual, the fight is likely, and that individual is liable to be on the losing end of that energy exchange. You can see this happens with prejudice today. It's a very common thing, and it is based upon that idea that different is dangerous. The physics of healing involves a flow of energy into our perception of ourselves. That single sentence, physics of healing, flow of energy into our perception of ourselves. Here's what I mean by that. When we put our attention on an object that is physical, I'm looking at a lamp even as I speak, what we are doing is we are adjusting our eyes to bring in the light that is being reflected off of this object that is making its way into my eyes, that based upon my experience, based upon my filters, based upon my practice, awareness, and judgments, and opinions, and superstitions, and fears, I am processing these environmental signals that are going into my eye and move down my optical nerve into my brain for comparison to previously established images of a similar nature. And I recognize this as a lamp. Interesting, as I'm doing this, for the very first time, even though this lamp has been on my desk for months, this is the first time, literally, that I'm actually noticing the swirls on it like vortices, which is one of Frank Mino's principles in his description. A vortex is kind of, it's a tornado-like movement of energy. And his way of thinking, it's an extremely powerful physics concept. If you look at a tornado, you look at a whirlpool, you see water running down the sink and so on, it seems to be natural with fluids. Frank thinks it's natural in the invisible fluid of life, which he calls ether. And so now, I'm looking at this lamp for the very first time at this depth. I've looked at it plenty of times, but I am seeing more of it. What just happened is my continued looking at it expanded my awareness of it. Therein lies one of the key factors in the physics of healing. As we practice taking in energy through our physical and other senses, as we stay open, we become more aware of other aspects of the energy or the objects of our attention. But literally, this lamp is visible to me because it is reflecting light. If it did not reflect light, I wouldn't be able to see it. And if that light didn't go into my eyes and get processed by my brain, because my brain would either have no frame of reference, never having seen a lamp before, or because it scares me, it reminds me of something that it is not, but all of a sudden I make a connection to something else, my awareness could be distorted by that. We filter things through our eyes, and going out into the sunlight, the pupil of the eyes change, and coming into the shade, they change, and that's really designed much like a camera to help focus and regulate the amount of light coming in. That's what happens on the physical level. I suggest the same thing is happening on an emotional level and on a mental level. We, based upon our feelings, based upon previously thought thoughts, we will reject, filter, prevent, disallow, restrict the flow of light into us. I suggest healing requires more light flowing into us, more energy, more healing spirit flowing into us. And so this idea that we filter so much, and if our filtering is based upon a primitive processor, that is a fear or fight or flight or superstition, we are limiting what we can experience. We are reverting to a primitive state that disadvantages us. It's interesting to note that sometimes when people are reviewing or reciting their description of an event, say an accident or something else that happened publicly, that when you talk to a group of people, it's as if they were observing a different event. They said, no, this is what happened, this is what happened. And it seems like there's such a discrepancy between one person's point of view as to what happened versus the other. What's happening is not that the light that entered their eyes was different. Maybe there was a slight difference in viewing angle. But one of the great discrepancies or the great variations is into the filtering system, the self-protection system, the existing frame of reference of how life works that each individual has. So light coming in gets filtered through these systems, and then the person is going to say, this is what happened. But really, it's more accurately stated this way. This is what they perceived happened. This is what they interpreted as having happened. What happened may be a totally different reality. In the physics of healing, I think this statement may be true. If there is something missing from our lives, we are filtering it out. We are disallowing it. So the idea could be stated this way. If there is something that we have wanted and we don't have it, we could be filtering it out. That's a powerful awareness. That's worth considering because, frankly, filters are themselves an interesting concept. I see expectations as being filters. And when things don't meet those expectations, people go out of balance tremendously fast and to tremendous extremes. Rules, dogma, even systems of philosophy and religion can be filters. They prevent us from seeing things because we have decided beforehand the way things are supposed to be. So instead of observing what is, we have already narrowed what is down to acceptable versions of that or variations of that, which may not be true at all and may not be effective. I see important parts of each of us as we explore the physics of healing and healing per se, if you're not interested in the idea of physics, if it sounds too academic, too study-bound. is that healing is an ongoing process. If you're not healing every day, there's a real challenge. And I would suggest that the balance of healing gets disrupted when we do things that are contrary to healing more often when we do things that are in concert with healing. That is, we go out of balance more than we get back into balance. We do certain things that require maintenance, but then we don't provide the opportunity or the time or the resources for that maintenance. Stress happens to be one of those key areas. When we go into stress, we are disallowing the immune system from doing its full, robust maintenance. I think there are some important ideas for consideration. All energy is flowing to us. We allow in or filter out parts of that energy, and the parts that we allow in, we process using our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual senses. We decide, practice, and believe which rules will enhance our survival. Even if we've done this at a very, very early age where we had such limited awareness, but nonetheless made rules of survival, we can still be acting upon them. We could be living them out, even if they don't work, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years later. Rules established when we were the weakest, most disadvantaged, intellectually, emotionally, and mentally. That is not the best time to be constructing rules of life and survival. And so if we take into consideration that there is a level of conscious processing of information going on, as well as a vast subconscious processing going on, it's pretty easy to recognize that we could have come to some ineffective conclusions on what is best for our survival. Ultimately, with the physics of healing, I would be hoping to come into contact with a series of ways to allow energy most effectively in so we can cause those effects that result in our health, happiness, experience of abundance, and so on. And it is that aligning to any one of these concepts is possible for us. And it became clear to me as I was studying and writing this information is I have never sat down and simply put my attention on abundance, on what that means, the images thereof, what it would look like, smell like, taste like, feel like, sound like. What would abundance mean in any or every area of my life? I haven't done that. If I want to receive a certain environmental signal effectively, I need to tune myself to that environmental signal. I suggest that abundance is such an environmental signal. I suggest that healing is an environmental signal. Growth is, kindness is, happiness is, prosperity is, love is. Those are environmental signals. And as we practice, literally practice getting in tune with them, seeing if we can connect to them, to think them, feel them, hear them, and know what they are, we're going to be so much better off. And so as we study this curriculum of healing, we could identify that, you know what, this is what I want more of in my life. And the way to have more of it in my life is to connect to it so it can flow to me and through me. And it seems so straightforward to put it into those words. It's something that we tend not to do. But nonetheless, it is much more meaningful to think of health and healing as being a process that we are in control of, or could be, versus I have to watch TV for the next pharmaceutical ad dealing with the conditions I am symptomatically expressing with my physical body. It's like, oh, I guess I must have a cortisone deficiency or this deficiency or that deficiency. No, that's not true at all. That's not true at all. The physics of healing is different than the marketing of chemicals. So when we determine what vibrations we would like more of, what vibrations would add balance? What vibrations do we currently hold on to as belonging to us that don't belong to us, that have served their purpose, and we can let them move, we can let them shift, we can translate them, transmute them, transform them, we can allow them to become something different. The word healing and the word whole, W-H-O-L-E, are said to come from the same root word. It seems logical that healing and becoming whole are descriptions of the same process. If an unhealthy condition indicates a lack of wholeness, what does that mean? How did we become unwhole? Does that mean that a part of the whole was lost, was taken, was never possessed or had in the first place, was denied, rejected, somebody was not aware of it, or something else? How did this non-wholeness come about? And if there is a piece of the whole that is missing from us, how do we get it back? We're in the midst of developing another process that I call capturing peace. It's specifically targeted toward people who have been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, as it is commonly referred to. If we're seeking to reclaim a piece of us that was fragmented due to some traumatic stress event, and that illness could be considered to be part of that fragmentation, that we became disconnected from either a truth about ourselves, or we became disconnected from a part of ourselves, or both. Reclaiming that part would seem to be part of the physics of healing, to become whole again. I would like to end this service with a prayer. Father God, Mother God, Christ, the source and connection to all that is, thank you for all of our blessings. We ask your continued help in expanding our consciousness so that we become aware of our connection to our good and to you. As our consciousness grows, our awareness grows. We want to be able to look deeper, more patiently, compassionately, kindly, to get to the place where you must be, that is, seeing things, all things, as good. Thank you. It is done. Amen.